It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. On your mark, get set. Go.
We are leaving. We're out of here.
Where are you going?
We are going to Chicago.
We're going to Mississippi, but first stop Dallas.
That is our top story this Wednesday, getaway day for millions of Americans who are hitting the highways for that Thanksgiving feast.
Thanksgiving is all about family, getting to see people that you don't normally get to see, spend time with loved ones.
On the menu this year, wicked weather from coast to coast.
It was horrible. It was the worst trip I've ever had. It was turbulent and it was scary.
AAA says most of the 55 million Americans who are traveling over the Thanksgiving holiday are traveling today. Correspondent Jim Krasula in Charlotte, North Carolina.
It will probably take you much longer to get from here to there today. With predictions, this will be one of the busiest travel days ever in the U.S. Snow, ice, rain, and high winds will affect travel across much of the nation. It's especially bad in the upper Midwest.
Places like Denver, Chicago, and Minneapolis dealing with wind-whipped snow today. Hundreds of flights have been canceled on the busiest travel day of the year.
We missed our flight, yes, and now we are
Struggling
to get a new flight for tomorrow.
High winds, the main concern for New York and Pennsylvania. High wind warnings up till early tomorrow morning could force officials to ground those iconic balloons in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Now, the rules say the balloons must be grounded when sustained winds hit 23 miles per hour and gusts hit 34.
Tomorrow's forecast calling for 40-mile-an-hour winds in the Big Apple. NYPD officer Rodney Harrison.
We have supervisors assigned to each one of the 16 character balloons that are trained. We have seven anemometers throughout the route that will determine the wind gusts.
In the long history of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, the balloons have been grounded only once for bad weather. That was back in 1971. President Trump spending the Thanksgiving holiday at Mar-a-Lago in South Florida last night. He was in Sunrise, Florida.
They want to impeach you, President.
Mr. Trump telling supporters last night that the impeachment inquiry is falling flat with voters.
The radical Democrats are trying to overturn the last election because they know that they cannot win the next election. It's very simple.
And the latest polls show the nation split when it comes to impeachment. The House Judiciary Committee will take up the inquiry next week. The full House expected to file articles of impeachment against President Trump in December. A trial in the Senate would likely start in January. A pair of chemical plant explosions overnight, one in Charleston, South Carolina, the other
in the town of Port Neches in southeast Texas.
Crooked pictures on the wall, found a birdhouse. It was actually in the bathtub. It was like the whole house was shaking. Kind of like a little mini earthquake.
A bad plant is owned by TCP Corporation. Officials there say three people were hurt.
That's Peter King reporting. Black Friday now 2 days away, but shoppers have already been finding bargains online for weeks now, and some of them have also been getting scammed by folks looking to make a quick buck. This woman thought she was buying a new Hoka running shoe for the rock-bottom price of $80.
It said HokaEStore.com, so I thought it was a Hoka store.
Well, that was until she checked her bank account, where she found two debit card withdrawals.
They came from China.
2 days later, the scammers made two more withdrawals, totaling $350. Officials say the woman fell victim to a scam website.
This happens to millions of people.
Ray Fowler at Consumer Reports says if a deal sounds too good to be true, it usually is.
Great sales, rock bottom prices, and then, you know, getting people to go to a site that looks just like what you think is the actual site.
Like that fake Hoka website. Fowler says if you're buying anything from a website, make sure you research it. And if you have any suspicions at all, don't buy a thing. Still to come this Wednesday, 24-hour bell ringing in Ithaca. Shop with a cop in Corning and torment the teacher in Ceilings Grove.
Good afternoon. As you're heading the highways this afternoon, in many cases, look for some wet roads and some gusty winds.
I'll be back with the Thanksgiving Day forecast coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. Checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Wednesday, November 27th. Wicked winds on the menu as you make your way to that Thanksgiving feast. High wind warnings up today across much of our listening area.
There'll be a cold front come through right around 1 o'clock, and that's when you'll start to see the real gusty weather start.
Bob Hamilton at the National Weather Service in Buffalo says the gusty weather expected to last right on through the upcoming weekend.
Those that have to travel for the holiday, there will be the risk for some mixed precip second half of the weekend, including some freezing rain, so that's going to be something we're going to have to watch.
A lakeshore flood warning also up for communities along the shorelines of Lakes Erie and Ontario. The drive home on Sunday could be a dicey one. Pennsylvania's just been named the second most dangerous state for winter driving. Those rankings based on the average number of winter driving deaths. The Keystone State averages 30 deaths a year. Michigan, number one with 49. New York State ranked third on that list of the most dangerous states when it comes to winter driving. New York State facing a $6 billion deficit next year. Family Life's Tracy Lynn.
Critics contend the looming economic crisis is one of Governor Cuomo's own making. More than half of the gap is linked to a dramatic rise in New York's Medicaid costs. In an effort to patch the hole, the governor is considering slashing payments to hospitals and nursing homes. The $6.1 billion deficit represents New York's biggest budget shortfall since Governor Cuomo came to power in 2011. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thanks, Tracy. The Allegheny County, New York teenager charged with killing his parents at their burned-out home 1 week ago now says his father shot and killed his mother.
He denied that he killed his mother.
Prosecutors say 17-year-old William Larson Jr. admitted to shooting to death his father, but only after he threw a knife at him. But investigators believe the parents were actually killed weeks ago, and their house was set on fire to try and cover it up.
He's presumed to be innocent. He has a right to due process, and it'll be my job to prove him guilty.
Last Wednesday, first responders called to the house fire in Clarksville, New York, where they found the victim's bodies inside. A day-long manhunt for the 17-year-old ended that evening. Officials say the murders have sent shockwaves through that pint-sized community.
We don't have a lot of homicides in Allegheny County. Double homicide would be even more rare.
The funerals for the parents took place yesterday. William Larson Jr. facing murder and manslaughter charges. Former Rochester City Court Judge Leticia Astacio has been sentenced to 180 days behind bars for violating her probation following her DWI conviction 3 years ago. In court yesterday, Astacio pleaded with the judge to spare her prison.
I'm not here out of defiance. I am here because the judicial system does not function to break people, and it is destroying me. This is difficult every day. It is embarrassing, it is humiliating, and I cannot move forward.
But prosecutors say the former city judge has no one to blame but herself.
At every step, I feel that Ms. Astacio had several options, and she always chose the one that put her at legal jeopardy the most. And that's the only person responsible for that is herself.
Astacio taken away in handcuffs to start serving her prison time yesterday. The State Court of Appeals recently removed her from the bench after several run-ins with the law. Pennsylvania's Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman says his top goal is to make sure people don't needlessly die in prison. Here's Family Life's Terry Diener.
Fetterman oversees the Commonwealth's Board of Pardons, and since he took office, he's been trying to free some of the people who are serving life sentences without the possibility of parole. He said in recent administrations, few pardons and commutations have been made. He wants to change that. Speaking at a Pennsylvania Press Club luncheon, Fetterman yielded some of his time to two recently commuted people. Since their release, the Board of Pardons has hired both of them. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Steuben County, New York Sheriff Jim Allard is teaming up with local law enforcement for a Shop with a Cop event next month near Corning.
It's very rewarding for our folks to be able to go out and see the smile on the face of the children. And when you see something like that, it brings you back to what you're actually doing this job for.
Bath Police Chief Chad Mullen.
The last few years that we've been doing it, watching some of these kids, and some of them come from hard families, and they're apprehensive when they see the police at first. But to watch the interaction, some of them become really good friends.
On Thursday, December 12th, police from all over Steuben County will take kids from needy homes to go shopping at the Walmart in Painted Post. Elected officials in Pennsylvania getting a pay hike next month.
State lawmakers, judges, and the governor all collecting another annual salary increase. The governor's salary will surpass the $200,000 a year mark, while the rank and file legislature's base pay will be north of $90,000 a year. Those salary increases come as lawmakers consider increasing the minimum wage for the first time in a decade. The pay boost takes effect December 1st for lawmakers, January 1st for judicial and executive branch officials. And for the record, Pennsylvania politicians are the third highest paid lawmakers anywhere in America. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. Christmas shopping hits the accelerator this week, and there's always the temptation to overspend. Been there, done that. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger has some timely tips to keep your spending in check.
I think it's really hard to hit your goals if you don't know what they are. Go back to last year, figure out what you spent. It's really good to pull up that credit card statement, maybe from December, January, your bank account statement. Check it out. It's a little daunting, but then you want to create your list for this year.
Retail spending this holiday season expected to top $1.1 trillion. The Ceilings Grove Pennsylvania Middle School has just wrapped up its second annual Torment the Teacher event. It's all for a good cause, though. Family Life Sarah Harnish explains.
For the last 2 weeks, the middle school students ran a food drive for Meals for Seals. That's a program that provides food for families in need in the community.
There are some kids who aren't as fortunate as others, so I feel like it's really important to help other people who need it.
It makes me feel really happy because we're giving kids in our area that may not have the money to buy a meal, like we're giving them the opportunity to have one.
The more items each child donated, the more chance they had to torment their teacher.
I guess students just like messing with their teachers.
The school's assistant principal also among those tormented, and he was perfectly okay with it.
You know, this is something that I put a lot of value into, having students understand why it's important to help others.
How much food can a bunch of teenagers raise? Double the number over last year.
Well, one, they're very competitive, but have good hearts too.
500 different items were collected to help the needy, all by a group of passionate kids in Ceilings Grove, Pennsylvania. Sarah Harnish, Family Life News.
Great story. Thank you, Sarah. The Salvation Army sponsoring a unique challenge next weekend to ring in support for this year's Red Kettle campaign.
Our goal for the 24 hours is to raise $10,000. And we also have some local celebrities that are coming to stand with me throughout the 24 hours.
Lieutenant Stacy McNeil will be ringing the Salvation Army bell for 24 consecutive hours at the Walmart in Ithaca, New York.
I'm actually really excited. There's really not been preparation. I think I'll just rest a little extra that first day, but yeah, I'm excited.
Good luck there. The 24-hour bell ringing campaign takes place from 6 p.m. Friday through 6 p.m. Saturday next weekend at the Walmart in Ithaca, New York. Unbeaten no more. Mighty Duke has fallen. Sunny time. 2 minute drill.
Yeah, we start in Durham, North Carolina, where Duke had won 150 consecutive non-conference home games, their last loss coming back in 2000 against St. John. So they're playing little Stephen F. Austin. No problem, right? Well, in overtime, that's why they play the game.
They've got a timeout. They don't use it.
Shocker! Stephen F. Austin at the buzzer knocks off Duke 85-83. Duke head coach Mike Krzyzewski said, yeah, we deserved it.
That team was deserving of winning, and they won. And to win in overtime on that last play, the last play was really symbolic of about 8 or 9 plays.
More college news. Ohio State, the new number one in the college football playoff rankings. The Buckeyes leapfrog fellow unbeaten LSU, with the Tigers now second. Clemson remains third, followed by Georgia and Alabama. Utah, Oklahoma, Minnesota, Baylor, and Penn State round out the top 10. The top 4 play at the end of the year in the national semifinals. To the NBA, the Clippers defense put the clamps on the Mavericks, a 114-99 win in Dallas. Kawhi Leonard finished with 28 points. Paul George poured in 26 for LA, and they're able to hold Luka Doncic to just 22 points. The Clippers won their sixth straight to improve to 13-5. Kristaps Porzingis says that defense of the Clippers, pretty good.
They're looking to win a championship, and they played like it was a playoff game. You know, they played it aggressively.
Dallas falls to 11-6. On the ice, Minnesota gets by New Jersey 3-2. College basketball, Yale big over Bucknell 81-61. Cornell falls to Navy 72-61. St. Bonaventure over Mercer 56-51. Binghamton crushing Oneonta State 90-69. And Canisius big over UIC 94-64. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come this Wednesday, the busiest travel day of the year is here. Turkey preparation tips for tomorrow's big feast and a shoebox of love. 14 years in the making.
It's Thanksgiving. Turkey, stuffing, football, and those dreaded dinner discussions. Here's how to not only get through it, but maybe even make a difference. I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. A new holiday trend, as evidenced by Google searches, is Friendsgiving. Instead of having to talk politics or religion with that opinionated parent, aunt, or uncle over Thanksgiving dinner, some folks, especially younger adults, are choosing friends over family on Turkey Day. After all, why risk an argument that will ruin the day for everyone? Of course, there's nothing wrong with celebrating Thanksgiving with friends, but we shouldn't shy away from conversations about things that matter, even if the topics are super controversial, like, oh, I don't know, same-sex marriage, immigration, the impeachment hearings, or the Dallas Cowboys. There are two keys to civil, interesting, and productive conversations. First, we need to be confident in our beliefs. If we are, we're far less likely to be threatened by opinions and ideas we know aren't true. And second, we need to love our enemies. And since we're not facing any hostile foreign invasions this holiday season, that means our ideological enemies. Remember, Jesus loves even those we find intolerable, so we must decide to treat them with respect. And now, here's a strategy for those tough conversations. Ask good questions. Questions can turn monologues into dialogues, surface-level discussions into something deeper. They might even open a closed mind or two. Here's six questions that I found extremely helpful in any conversation. First, what do you mean by that? The battle of ideas is always the battle over the definition of words. Thus, it's vital in any conversation to clarify the terms being used. For example, a very important thing to clarify about whether Christians should support same-sex marriage is the definition of marriage. If the topic comes up, stop and ask, hold on, before we go too far into what kind of union should be considered marriage, could you tell me what you mean by marriage? Look, often when it comes to these really difficult issues, we're using the same vocabulary as those with whom we disagree, but we're not using the same dictionary. And here's the second question. How do you know that's true? See, too often, assertions are mistaken for arguments. There's a vast difference between the two. An assertion is a definitive statement made about the nature of reality. An argument is presented to back up an assertion. By asking, how do you know that's true, you'll move the conversation beyond two people merely asserting what they believe to why those assertions should be taken seriously. Now, of course, if you ever ask somebody making an assertion this question, you're going to have to be ready to be asked that question when you make an assertion. And that's okay. Christians have good reasons for our faith that we can share. Our moral convictions make sense. We should be ready to make the case for them whenever we get the chance. Here's a third question. Where did you get this information? Once arguments are offered, it's important to ensure that arguments are valid. For example, news reports love to shout how same-sex parents are better parents than straight couples, which is a talking point based on very limited studies, while there's plenty of other studies that suggest the exact opposite. The fourth question, how did you come to this conclusion? You know, behind the person you're talking with and his or her convictions, there's always a story. Might even be a painful one. And if you know where someone's coming from, it can help explain why they don't find your views plausible. Plus, it'll help you remember, see that second point above, that the person you're talking with is a real image of God-bearing person. Two final questions. What if you're wrong and what if you're right? Look, ideas have consequences, and these questions help us follow ideas to their conclusions. Oh, and to get off to a great start tomorrow at the dinner table, here's a seventh question, one of the most important you can ask. For what are you thankful? It's an easy transition from that question to whom are you thankful? From all of us at the Colson Center, have a happy Thanksgiving. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour. Let's get to it. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, please be safe on the highways heading out this day. Get some rain moving into the area, some gusty winds as well. The cold front will deliver chillier air tonight and a touch of snow for some by daybreak on Thanksgiving Day. Otherwise, the next weather maker will arrive on Sunday, and that could pose some challenges on the return trip from the holiday with snow, ice, and rain then. For this afternoon, mostly cloudy with gusty showers moving into the area, even a rumble of thunder in spots, high temps 50s and low 60s. Tonight, strong winds, colder. Showers flip to flurries for some, low temps 30s and low 40s. Could be a coating of snow in the western Twin Tiers. Your Thanksgiving Day is blustery, mostly cloudy, some flurries and sprinkles. High temperatures mid-30s to the middle 40s.
Thank you, Kevin Williams. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today. Wednesday, November 27th, a bomb cyclone in the Pacific Northwest, heavy snow in the upper Midwest. That's what's on the menu this Thanksgiving holiday as 55 million of us hit the highways.
91 million people impacted by these wind advisories could gust up to 60 miles per hour.
Meteorologist Bill Caron says much of New York and Pennsylvania under a high wind warning through early tomorrow. Aviation expert Tom Costello says as the storm moves east, the traffic on the roads will only get worse.
As that continues to spread, that's going to delay traffic on the roads and trying to get through to grandmother's house today.
Costello is especially concerned about the return trip home on Sunday. Family Life's Sarah Harnish says the high winds, the major concern in our neck of the woods.
Yeah, with gusts up to 40 miles an hour, the storm is no joke. National Grid has hundreds of employees stationed across western New York in advance of the storm just to be able to get the power back on swiftly should a power line go down. They say downed lines happen fast, and in a storm like this, there can be hundreds of lines taken down over a few towns.
If you have your power go out, you should never assume that we know that it's out. If our customers are preparing it as we are, their phone should be charged in advance of the wind event.
There'll be wind today through this weekend, and then snow, sleet, and ice moves in on Sunday. Sarah Harnish, Family Life News.
Thank you, Sarah. The holiday weekend starting with the deadly high-rise apartment fire in Minneapolis today. Here's Fire Chief John Friedel.
The fire was already ventilating approximately 14, 15 feet out of the window on the 14th floor. Unfortunately, we've had five people deceased in this fire.
Officials still looking for a cause. New research shows young people dying in the U.S. at a faster clip.
A study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association reports the overall life expectancy in the U.S. is down for the third consecutive year. Experts say death rates from suicide, overdoses, and health issues are helping to drive that number lower. Meanwhile, for the fourth straight year, the fertility rate in the U.S. has dropped. The National Center for Health Statistics says there were just under 60 births for every 1,000 women of childbearing age in 2018, and that, they say, is a record low.
That's Bill Rakoff reporting. The average American will chow down more than 3,000 calories tomorrow. That includes 150 grams of fat. The Calorie Control Council recommending that you recover by eating light, low-fat foods for a few days after that Thanksgiving feast. Have you started thawing out your frozen turkey yet? Well, time's running out. It takes roughly 24 hours for every 5 pounds of bird to thaw in the fridge.
You want to make sure all along the way it's been iced down, it's nice and cold, and then you want to make sure by using a thermometer at the end, it's cooked to the proper temperature.
Chef Jason Morse says an uncooked turkey, yeah, that can make you sick.
That 165-degree temperature in the breast and down in the leg and the thigh, you want that 180 degrees.
The chef says now is a good time to find your food thermometer. 24 minutes past the hour, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome back to another edition of Real Answers with Chris Anderson. It airs Wednesdays during the Noon Report. We tackle the tough topics facing today's families with licensed mental health counselor Chris Anderson. And today, with the holiday season almost in full swing, Thanksgiving tomorrow, believe it or not, we're taking some time this week to discuss how to navigate the holidays after negative life changes.
So true. This is a really big topic for this time of year because a lot can happen in a year's time, and it's always good for us, I think, to circle back and to look at just what families can do to get through a season of, well, let's just call it high and often unrealistic expectation for sure.
Chris, I know that in previous years we looked at it from the perspective of grieving, but you're wanting to expand it out a bit this year.
I do, Brandon. I really do. And yes, other life events can bring added stress levels as well. I want to throw in there also positive life events. can also bring added stress during the holidays. So consider divorce, which would be obviously very negative, as well as then marriage, bringing families together through a new union. Now, of course, I'm in no way advocating divorce, but we need to face the fact that divorce is happening at an alarming rate, even in Christian families. But like I said, even with a positive life event, such as marriage or bringing a new baby into the world.
Yeah, Chris, is that something that you can relate to then?
Yeah, absolutely. My beautiful wife and I just welcomed a beautiful baby boy 2 days ago. So as you can tell, this is something that's very fresh on my mind for sure. But the suggestions we're going to talk about today really can be applied to both positive and negative life events.
Let's get right into it then. What can families do to reduce the overall stress levels during the holiday season?
One of the most important things to do is to keep communication open. Parents need to be able to talk about the joys, the pains, the expectations of the holidays, and how new life circumstances are going to impact the holiday season. There's at least not many Hallmark or Lifetime movies that directly address painful holiday experiences in a we'll call it a realistic manner, that's for sure. But parents will also need to keep an eye on how their children are processing changes, particularly the negative changes where loss of a parent being deployed overseas, or a divorce has occurred. Look for signs of stress in children. You might hear them talking about unusual topics or trying to talk about things or playing things out where you're like, what exactly are they doing here? So look for those signs. And then if you need to get some help for your children, or if you just aren't sure what to do, definitely seek out some help from others in your church, or if needed, from a professional counselor or a child psychologist to help children adjust and to cope with not having certain things in place that maybe they were used to before, whether, again, that's through a positive or a negative change in life.
In addressing expectations, are you also including how the holidays will be celebrated?
Yeah, absolutely. Be willing to actively plan what will happen. And maybe this hasn't needed to happen before, but actively planning will help families to kind of keep a realistic approach to the holidays. Decide which traditions will be kept and which might be replaced or maybe temporarily put on hold or completely let go because of the way things are moving now. This is especially important for families who, again, may be welcoming new members through marriage or the blending of families. Don't hesitate to start new traditions and help children understand how doing that will be fun and meaningful this year as well as in years to come. And involve kids in planning those traditions and activities. It's very important to do this. I know that Thanksgiving is tomorrow, but Christmas is still going to be a few weeks away, so don't wait to the last minute to maybe decorate or prepare, because procrastination, I'll tell you right now, is a huge, huge stressor. And it definitely doesn't get enough of a bad rap for being one of the biggest contributors to a negative holiday experience for many.
You know, with that said, Chris, you and I were chatting about the stress of travel and logistics off air. Do we need to take that into account as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we hear continually how Thanksgiving is the busiest travel time of the year. But remember, when life changes happen in families, the flow of responsibility, who's involved in handling certain tasks, also changes to the point where a parent that maybe lost a spouse to death or divorce or whatever, that person that's no longer in the family for whatever reason, maybe they were the ones tasked with setting travel arrangements or getting logistics ready for going to grandma's house or whatever. So maybe a family member who needs to take on that additional responsibility, this can add a tremendous amount of stress. So planning for that, not waiting until it's too late, can relieve stress. And something else, Brandon, too, here, is for everyone to what I call reduce info inflow. You've heard this from me a lot. I know that. Social media and mainstream media can add so much stress by getting us to either unfairly compare ourselves to everyone else's perfection, which is what we see in social media, or we are swayed to just think negatively by the slanted mainstream media outlets. Who really needs that level of stress right now? I don't think any of us do, to tell you the truth. So it's hard enough to keep our own expectations in check without having so much information coming into our heads through our social media and mainstream media involvement that we just feel that extra pressure. So again, reduce that info inflow, and that will help to reduce stress overall as well.
You've been listening to another edition of Real Answers with Chris Anderson. It airs Wednesdays during the Noon Report. We tackle the tough topics facing today's families with Christian counselor Chris Anderson.
All right, some great tips there. Thank you, guys. Real Answers comes your way Wednesdays during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, please be safe on the highways heading out this day. Get some rain moving into the area, some gusty winds as well. A cold front will deliver chillier air tonight and a touch of snow for some by daybreak on Thanksgiving Day. Otherwise, the next weather maker will arrive on Sunday, and that could pose some challenges on the return trip from the holiday with snow, ice, and rain then. For this afternoon, mostly cloudy, with gusty showers moving into the area, even a rumble of thunder in spots, high temps 50s and low 60s. Tonight, strong winds, colder. Showers flip to flurries for some, low temps 30s and low 40s. Could be a coating of snow in the western Twin Tiers. Your Thanksgiving Day is blustery, mostly cloudy, some flurries and sprinkles. High temperatures, mid-30s to the middle 40s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, finally at noon. What are the odds an Idaho boy who sent a shoebox to an Operation Christmas Child recipient in the Philippines got married to that recipient 14 years later? Family Life's Bob Price has their incredible story.
Yeah, Bill, Operation Christmas Child has blessed millions of kids worldwide with gifts for the holidays. But for one 7-year-old boy in Idaho, it led to a surprising outcome many years later. Back in 2000, Tyrell Wolf packed a shoebox for a young girl 7,000 miles away in the Philippines. Joanna Marchand received the shoebox at a vacation Bible school near Manila. 13 years later, Joanna and Tyrell became Facebook friends. When Tyrell sent Joanna a message asking how she knew him, she told him she was the one who received that gift-filled shoebox back in the year 2000. The two struck up an online relationship, and 5 years ago, wouldn't you know, Tyrell asked Joanna to be his wife, and she said yes. As a special touch, guests were asked to bring Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes to the wedding. That was back in 2014. This past June, the couple that became connected through a shoebox were blessed with the birth of their very first child, a baby boy. Bob Price, Family Life News.
What a great story. Thank you, Bob. That is the world we live in this Wednesday. Have a safe and a happy Thanksgiving holiday. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.